broke way too long.
And that's all we have. Welcome into the First Draft Fantasy, where we need to find new music, apparently.
New music, new people.
Yeah, if anybody out there is in a band or raps or and you're good, don't give me this bullshit, okay? And we're not taking any music. But hit us up. Slide in our DMs. Instagram, MySpace, TikTok.
I was thinking like... Twitter. I am like AOL Messenger, but
and maybe that too. Like maybe that too.
MSN.
MSN.
I don't know.
Moco space. You know, just there's a lot that we could be going into, but we are 1 week away from the NFL draft. It's already boy, oh boy. Here. We are gonna have a big change in landscapes going forward after next week. You know, we'll definitely have. Just think about it. I'm like, you know, we were talking about a couple years ago, A.J. Brown was traded in the middle of the draft to the Eagles. That same draft, Hollywood Brown was traded to the Arizona Cardinals. Last year, you know, was first round, Detroit took Jahmyr Gibbs, and that left us wondering what was going to happen with DeAndre Swift. He was then traded to the Eagles. And his fantasy life was revived from there. So, you know, there's going to be...
So, are you saying there's an Eagle trade coming on draft day? It sounds like.
Ooh, doubtful.
Doubtful. I agree.
But, I mean, unless it's just picks.
Yeah.
Then maybe. But, yeah, there's just... Probably will be some players moved as well as, you know, some people that are going to have their... fantasy values impacted by incoming rookies. So we have a lot to look forward to next week. Round one next Thursday, rounds two and three Friday, and rounds four through seven Saturday. So there's going to be a busy weekend. A
lot of coverage.
We are going to try and figure out what we want to do. If we want to cover round one for the podcast, if what we're going to do, we'll discuss it. And, you know, we'll let you guys know what First Draft Fantasy is going to do. But yeah,
live podcast audience
live, and we're not we're not talking about like social media live. We're gonna like go to a park and just start screaming at people.
I'd do that on the side of the road. I don't need to go to a park.
Park, you get more audience. Okay, some people just turn up their music and they don't listen. True, they, you know, you gotta have the listeners here. But yeah, we are coming off of our running back rankings last week, which went. Pretty long, and we got a little crazy with that episode, but you know,
it was a good one.
You know, we gave a lot of information on these running backs that are honestly gonna have to work in order to be fantasy valuable players.
A lot different than these wide receiver rankings.
Yes. Speaking about running backs that are mediocre, we have Royce Freeman signing to the Dallas Cowboys. And I guess J.K. Dobbins isn't mediocre when he's healthy. He's just never healthy.
Yeah.
He is now back with his old offensive coordinator in Los Angeles, along with his old running back teammate, Gus Edwards. So, yeah, both on the Chargers.
Huh.
I still think they're going to take Blake Corum, but, you know, we will wait and see.
I mean, they can just be later in the third, fourth round.
Yeah. So it's going to happen. I'm calling it now. Does this have any impact at all? No. Definitely don't think the Royce Freeman one has any impact.
I think it just gives you something to monitor with the Chargers on if they draft somebody or are they going to run with who they got.
Yeah.
So, I think it's kind of, do you take a little chance right now trying to get one of those guys like a Dobbins or an Edwards, or do you wait until the draft's over? I would say you're waiting because I don't know what you're going to offer up for an injury-prone running back.
If you want to take the risk and offer a third or fourth round rookie pick in Dynasty,
Mm-hmm.
Go for it. But even then, I don't even know if I would rather have the upside of a third round. Especially with, we're going to talk about wide receivers today.
Yeah.
There is an immense amount of talent
mm-hmm.
at the wide receiver position. And one of these guys will probably fall to third rounds in your rookie drafts. So
I think so, because there's going to be people that just see running back and need it, and so they'll pick it.
Yeah. I have a dynasty league where we draft well before the NFL draft.
Oh, boy.
To kind of, get rid of, the hype once it's like, Sky Moore's to the Chiefs, so let's... He's yeah. now a first rounder. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is now the first guy off the board. So, yeah, we already had our draft, and I'm going to go try and see. I want to see what the... Because we did this one, honestly, too, before.
That's...
Before I really did my stuff.
Where you're just guessing, too? You're hoping that you got it right?
Yeah, it's a super flex, though. And Caleb Williams was there for me with the third pick, so I had to take him there.
Yeah. What were the first two? Marvin Harrison and...
And Neighbors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm shocked because Superflex and you're the 1-2, unless they traded for him, they probably don't have quarterback.
Yeah. Looking shocked. At it. There's definitely a couple guys that we talked about, or are going to talk about, that are in the third round.
It was tough. I had 15 of them I went through, so... And all 15 of them are probably going to be decently relevant, and I'm sure they're going to be falling into the third round, so.
Yeah. I'm looking at it, though, and I'm like, kind of wish I would have.
Done it differently?
Just wish I would have, done some more research beforehand.
Yeah. Paid attention more to college football?
Basically.
Yeah.
Basically. So, yeah, we will be breaking that down, but we will be doing something we didn't do last week. We're going to do it this week, though.
I'm going to go on my tirade real quick.
Oh, okay. We got...
TJ Hockenson.
Hold on. Rant of the week. Go ahead.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
TJ Hockenson. Crying and whining. We need to look at low hits. Well, guess what, buddy? It's already illegal to hit you in your head. It's illegal to hit you in your neck. It's illegal to tackle you from behind. It's illegal to do just about anything. And now you want to take out the one spot that they can hit you legally, and that's the legs. And then on top of it, you're a 250-pound tight end, and you're bitching and moaning about that. Like, what do you want them to do, hit you in the dick? Like, I'll start spearing you, I guess. Like, they need to tell, people need to know, the NFL... Football is not safe. It was never safe, and it was never meant to be safe. That's what made it fun. It's accepted risks. And you're a pro NFL player. If you don't like it, you can leave. Kick your way out the door. End of rant.
All right.
Pissed me off.
All right. The rant is over.
What are we playing now?
We are going to play our game, which is the blind ranking game.
Oh, boy.
Where you are going to go ahead and rank some players.
You have all five of them right now, right?
Hmm?
Yep.
Yeah, I have five ready to go.
All right.
And you're going to rank them. This is for only the upcoming season.
Redraft, basically, right?
Yes, redraft.
Okay.
So, we are... Basically, just gonna go for that.
Got it.
See what you want.
Oh boy.
From these players, blind ranking them, starting with Tank Dell.
Oh, fudge!
You are already on record saying that you dislike the Stephon Diggs move for anybody not named C.J. Stroud on that.
Yep. Team. This is a tough one, because this is one where it's like, where are we going with it? And like, I could go the easy route and toss him right in the middle, but I don't like easy. I'm going to have to put them at 4.
At 4.
On this list.
Okay. Number 4. Tank Dell. Number 4. Second player I have on this list. There's a lot of question marks surrounding this guy.
Uh-oh.
Talent is there, though.
Oh, no. I know who, possibly.
T. Higgins.
Oh, boy. That one's interesting.
Mm-hmm. He came out recently and said that the expectation is for him to play this season in Cincinnati mm-hmm. on the franchise tag. So we're projecting him to still be with the Cincinnati Bengals this year. That could change, they could get a trade partner in the draft. But we shall see.
Well, and that's one where if he stays with Cincy, he's kind of got a very set ceiling, I think. But in terms of if he were to leave, it could be a lot higher. Ah, oh, man. I'm going to go with 2 in my rankings.
2, huh?
2. I just hope you don't have a bunch of players. this is going to be interesting. Serious FaceTime. Serious. Uh-oh. Who's the next?
Amari Cooper.
Oof. I feel like there's a spot he fits in perfectly right now. And be number 3.
Okay. And you're sticking with 3.
Yep.
So we have T. Higgins at 2. Amari Cooper at 3.
Yep.
Tank
Dell
at
4.
4.
So now I have to fill in... Yeah.
Okay.
Now I have to fill in 1 and 5.
1 and 5. And your next player is Terry McLaurin. Scary Terry.
Well, being an owner of him this last year,
mm-hmm.
I have no qualms putting him at 5.
You have no qualms?
Okay. No, not at all. It's kind of where he deserves to be right now.
Okay.
He made me mad. But was it quarterback play or him? I don't know.
Was it a little bit of both?
Probably both.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he drove me insane. So who's my number one guy in this
rankings? Your number one in this rankings is Christopher Olave.
Huh?
So your rankings
not terrible.
Are Chris Olave, T. Higgins, Amari Cooper, Tank Dell, and Terry McLaurin. Feeling comfortable with that list?
I would switch T. Higgins to 1 on my list of those players. And then I'd probably put Olave 2. Okay. That'd be my switch.
I was contemplating throwing in Drake London. Where would he have slotted in?
Depending on where in the lineup you gave me him, like... He probably would have been... I probably would have put him around 3.
Okay.
If he was, like, the first one, I think I would have done an easy 3. But, yeah.
Okay, but...
But I didn't have him.
You didn't take that easy way out.
No, nope.
Not on that one.
Not on that one.
It wasn't there. Wasn't available.
I'm actually pretty good at this right now. Okay. Gotten, yeah.
Yeah, you haven't had a glaring one where, so far. Where
yeah.
It's like... Ooh, you really fucked that one up.
Yeah, where, like, you had somebody, my last, like, could if I had Olave, I would have been stuck. Like, you can't put him at 5, so it won't have changed much, but.
Yeah, I need to try and figure out a better order to really mess you up next time.
Yeah. Almost start with your best one first. Now, then you're playing games.
Mind games are already started.
You gotta play mind games. What would you change in that order? Would it be the same change?
Mm.
Or would you flip a couple around?
It's hard because Amari Cooper has been consistently underrated the last mm-hmm. few years and has just performed like crazy. Where last year especially was a pretty disappointing season for both T. Higgins and Olave.
Yeah.
But it's hard because it's like projecting towards next season. But yeah, I don't have too many issues with it. I probably, like you said, afterwards would do that switch with T going to one, especially if he stays in Cincinnati.
I think even if he were to go somewhere, somebody who's trading for him's got a quarterback. They're not just trading to trade for a wide receiver.
Maybe.
But we've also never seen him. I mean, we have when Chase has been hurt, but not constant number one guy covering him.
Yeah. All right, we are going to get into the wide receiver rankings.
Wide receivers.
Which is an absolutely deep class. It's going to be... We're all projecting pretty a good amount of talent coming out of this class. I think this one's pretty comparable to the 2020 class.
Who's in that one?
That was the Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb.
Okay, yeah.
Jerry Jeudy, Speed Racer, T. Higgins.
Yeah.
Michael Pittman Jr.
Yeah, this one's, I think, up there.
Yeah, and I mean, looking at the draft order, as early as number four is where you could see, you know, a wide receiver going to the Arizona Cardinals. We could easily see a wide receiver going to the Los Angeles Chargers. Mm-hmm. New York Giants could use another one. Tennessee Titans, honestly, could if they really wanted to.
Yep.
Atlanta would be a funny one because they've been constantly just loading up on top 10 guys.
Go get somebody else for Kirk Cousins.
Chicago
could do it. I don't see them. That would be a waste, I think.
I think they'll go O-line, but...
You know, yeah, they could. Mm-hmm. They could do something shocking.
New York Jets.
They've been doing some weird shit in general, so...
I mean, they got Mike Williams, but with his injury history, you could add another one there. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing, though, that they are pretty... The rumors are that they're pretty enamored with Brock Bowers. And if he were to be there at 10, that would more than likely be their pick. But we shall see on that one. Vikings, I don't really see needing a weapon. Broncos no. could, but Broncos need so much.
They need SOS help.
There's a lot of teams, on this list that could use.
I wouldn't be shocked to see the top six of our list go in the first round.
I think pretty spot on with that, because yeah, there's a lot of talent here. Mm-hmm. If they don't go in the first round, there's going to be a run on them at the start of the second round.
It'd be a gift to some of those teams if they lasted till then.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens through all of this. You know, there's projected to be a lot of trades, but I feel like there always is, and then trades have kind of been not as pertinent to the first round as usual, but
we'll see much in the first, but I think afterwards you'll just see people going. I feel like there's a few teams that you're looking at to make moves. I think Vikings are one that you're looking at to possibly make a move in it. That's kind of the big one. Yeah. Outside that, I just imagine teams trading down out of spots and just getting extra picks because they want them.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to see who, like, we're going to basically go with, like, 10 guys that we really want to talk about that's pretty much on almost all of our lists. I'm trying to see who Manu has off his that we all... Tap on.
It's a lot better than the running backs, that's for sure.
A lot better. Oh, he does not have Keon Coleman. Jalen Polk made his list. He also made Hugo's top 12.
Jalen Polk.
Wide receiver out of... I think he's out of Washington as well.
I didn't even look at him.
So, yeah, there's...
All right. How do we want to start at 10, then?
10. I think we can start with somebody that... We're just going to talk about guys and see where it goes.
You want to talk about Mr. Ladd McConkey then?
We could talk about Ladd McConkey and Ricky Purcell. Because I think Purcell is one that didn't, it made like honorable mention for a decent amount of us.
Mm-hmm.
But not necessarily the top 10. So we'll start with Ricky Purcell, wide receiver out of Florida.
6'1", 190, ran a 4.41, 65 catches, 965 yards with a 4.8 average, 4 touchdowns was his 2023 stats.
Yeah, he's got decent size, good speed.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of these guys too, the talent is 100% there. But a lot of them got held back by quarterback play.
Yeah.
He's one of them as well. Yeah, like, he's never had over 1,000 yards, but, you know, was pretty important to the Florida offense.
Yep.
He had good route running, which mm-hmm. you like to see. He was just a good player. It's just I didn't see anything necessarily special other than that one-handed catch that he had. It's hard because we're talking about him as if he's like not great.
Yeah, but he is.
He's in our like top 12 for most of us, meaning he's gonna have a pretty good role wherever he goes, if we're projecting them right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's just Florida offense wasn't.
It wasn't crazy.
Yeah, but
I think a lot of it's just. Can he get that step, that next level, I guess? And I guess that kind of comes with getting a good QB with you.
Yeah, I don't know if I ended up putting him over Ladd McConkey on mine. No, I ended up sticking with Ladd. But there was some consideration of putting him over Ladd.
Mm-hmm. I had them both out, so.
The route running, I felt like, was a little bit better with him. I think he'll still be a day two guy.
Yeah.
But he just barely misses the top 12.
Mm-hmm.
We could also talk about your guy. Or not your guy. The other guy, Ladd McConkey.
Ladd.
From Georgia.
He only played. He was hurt beginning of the season.
Yeah, I think he missed like the first 4 games.
Yeah, because he played 8 games total, and that was with the last two, like SEC championship and the bowl game.
Mm.
So he had 6 regular season.
Yeah, so 30 catches, 478 yards, 2 touchdowns. Year before that, 58 catches, 762 yards, 7 touchdowns. He's smooth with his subtle moves that he does, which is, I'd like to see, not a guy that's going to try and do too much on mm-hmm. the routes and just dance. So,
I feel like he's one that's kind of built, and same with Purcell. I think they're kind of built to be able to play different wide receiver positions too.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just stuck at a slot or an outside or something. They're kind of versatile.
Yeah. Did you give his height and weight? 6 foot, 185.
No, but that's exactly it. And 4.39 40,
which is pretty fast for him.
It's crazy, but like outside of like 1-2 guys, almost all the wide receivers I looked at were like right around 4.5 or under. They were cruising. For bruising.
So, yeah, Ladd McConkey.
I think, yeah, a little bit of it's kind of injury history, but I mean, it's nothing crazy.
Yeah, I think he missed the first 4 games with a back injury.
I don't like backs. Those scare me.
They are a little scary. I'm going to go to, I think.
For having the speed, kind of, I don't know, it's a little tough. Like, to join a mid-season off of injury, like, you just aren't the same. So he didn't look quite like he could get the separation from corners and everything is consistent. But You look at his prior year stats, and they're up there still, so.
Yeah. I have Hugo's, what he said about these two guys, so I'll go with those. Ricky Purcell, he said routes for days. I didn't have him in my top 10 at first, but man, he's going to be a hard cover. He's a fluid athlete, has strong hands and crazy body control to make some impressive catches, good strength to bust through arm tackles, and is a willing blocker. Don't like that he's older, can get in trouble with physical corners, and disappears in traffic. So, his player comp was Jerry Judy-ish.
Judy-ish. I don't know if that's a good one.
I don't think it is because he said has strong hands.
Judy has no hands, but he got paid.
And then for Ladd McConkey, he said, Pats would have drafted him in the third round if Bill was still there. But this man is technical, has elite footwork, stop and can be a deep threat with his speed. He puts DBs in a blender in the slot, strong hands in the middle of the field, and knows how to sit and maneuver in the zone to find open spots. He's a good blocker. Don't like that he's small and gets out-muscled and doesn't have long speed to get separation on deeper routes. His player comps were either Eddie Royal or Deontay Johnson.
Man, these guys are creative with the way they describe people. Bill Belichick would have drafted him in the third round if he was still there. That's a good one.
So, Ladd McConkey, Ricky Purcell, they were either at the bottom of our top tens or didn't make them for some of us. So, yeah, I think the next two that we could talk about are probably Xavier Worthy and Xavier Leggett. The Xaviers is what we're going to talk about next. Alrighty. Because Worthy is out of Hugo's top 10, and
Leggett's all over the place.
Yeah, so these guys are all over the place. Xavier Leggett is...
Who do we want to talk about first? Worthy or Leggett?
Let's talk about Xavier
and the Mullins, South Leggett Carolina first. Native All would right. not okay. mind being we're, picked up by the Panthers.
We're going to listen to this interview real quick, though.
That'll be great, man. I'll be right down the road. It'll be a little easier for my family to come watch me play, so that'll be great. That's just them telling me down that they want me on their team, man. A lot of coaches came and hollered at me before and after this process here, man. A lot of them, man, they say they got a buzz in their facility for me, man, and I'm just ready to see where I'm going to land.
And the Mullins, South Carolina.
Is he from Houston?
I don't know. His birthplace is Mullins, South Carolina. So he's from South Carolina.
Huh.
Through and through.
A little bit. It sounded a little Houston-y that time I listened.
Yeah, he's a big body. 6'3", 227. Some receiver from South Carolina. 71 catches. 1,250.
You have him at 6'3"?
That's what I have him at.
What? I have him at 6'1".
Oh.
That's a difference.
Yeah, they're all over the place. So we'll split these the difference and 6'2". 71 catches, 1,255 yards, and 7 touchdowns is what he had last year at South Carolina.
17.7 average.
Which is great, but also concerning seeing that was his fifth year playing college ball. In the previous 4 years, he did not have, or he might have had 40 catches combined.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's a 1 year guy.
It's 1 year. Small sample.
I don't think he made my top 12. I think I had him.
And he's a guy. Top 10. He makes difficult catches too. Good hands, crisp routes. The size speed combo is ideal.
Yeah, I just didn't like his fluidity. I thought he was a little bit slow out of breaks. He can make up for it with his body size and the body control. I just think at the next level is going to be something he needs to work on. That was my concern with him mainly.
Yeah, he's overwhelmed a little bit out there, but...
Yeah, so, I mean, but putting up those numbers in the SEC is impressive.
Yep.
I watched a lot of their games because when I was watching Spencer Rattler, and that offensive line was terrible. So for him to have those numbers in that offense is impressive.
Yeah.
Hugo said, just hearing this guy talk made me want to put him in the top 5. He has him at 6. he's a beast, was clocked at 23 miles per hour multiple times at his size. You already know Miami is coming for him because Miami loves speed. He wins contested catches and makes shit happen after the catch. Don't like that he only had 1 year of production and that it was his last year, but I want this man on my team is what Hugo said. And he said there's a player comp of a little bit of DK and a little bit of Demaryius Thomas.
Those are, yeah. I think the tough part right now, too, is we're dealing with the COVID class, too, with some of these years where it's all messed up a little bit. Who knows if he did certain things like...
Yeah, because wasn't it in the 2020 season some players like could play a little bit, but if they wanted to,
yeah,
they could like decide to redshirt.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of
funky with everything, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, still just
a little. There is like, but
even the previous year only having 18 catches.
Maybe he's just a late bloomer, man.
Maybe
like I have him at 7. I think the things you can't coach of the size and speed are enough to you can work with it.
He looks a lot like Robert Griffin III. That's what's I think made me put him lower. At least on the ESPN picture.
Oh yeah, I can see that. Well, and I see it. Yeah, on the app I'm on, he does look like RG3. At a quick glance.
It looks like the Lions revealed their full new unis.
Oh, that's old news.
Yeah. That light blue helmet with the black jerseys look pretty cool, though.
We want to start talking about Xavier Worthy.
We can talk about Xavier Worthy, the man who set the record
speed.
The NFL Combine, running a 4.2140, fastest ever recorded for an NFL player. 75 catches, 1,014 yards, 5 touchdowns. 6'1", 172.
Holy shit.
What?
I have him at 5'11".
Oh, see, we'll split the
difference. We're all over. That's like 3 inches different there. That's
2.
You said 6?
6'1".
Oh, to 5. I don't know why.
We're splitting the difference again and going 6 foot. yeah, he burns. My problem with him when I was watching him is... I wanted to see that 4.21 speed, and I feel like I only saw it maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it before. Yeah. There's Texas. Quinn Ewers, you know, I didn't watch a lot of Texas games, but I thought he was better than what he is.
Yeah.
It wasn't great watching him on tape.
His wide receivers did work to catch some of these balls.
But at the same time, yeah, there was just some times where I'm like, oh, he's going to turn it on here, and then just didn't. There was, like, a couple plays. There was one where it was, like, a screen, and he took it up that sideline, and you could see it there. But there was just some times where I'm like, there's no reason this corner should be keeping up with you, or there's no reason this guy should have caught you from behind with 4.21 speed.
I don't think Ewers has the strongest arm, so it kind of, I felt like, negated it. Like, you can't go deep. Too fast.
Yeah, I just think there's times where you watch like Tyreek Hill and you just see like even on like a slant and it's like
he just catches and takes
and it's
off.
Like, oh my gosh, he's literally just faster than everybody else. And I was like, oh, 4.21, he's gonna be that same way. And on the tape, I just didn't see it as much as I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
That was my main issue with him. That being said,
he did kill slant and deep routes though.
And I thought going into it, I was going to be like, oh, here we go. Here's another fast guy.
Yep.
And he's going to get overdrafted just because he ran that 40. But his tape was not bad. I liked what I saw on a lot of it where, you know, he was creating separation.
Yeah.
I
think the one that got me the big downfall of it is he outruns zone coverages.
Hmm.
Like he doesn't. He'll, like, go right through his zone where he should stop and settle for his quarterback. I think that's partially due. All of a sudden it opens and he took 2 steps and he's already through it. Like,
I think that was another negative I had on him, too, was a little bit of a lack of awareness.
Because
there was a couple times where either he was on the sideline and just ended up stepping out, or he was near the sideline and... should have made the catch in bounds.
Yeah.
But ended up not because of just like kind of that lack of boundary awareness.
Yeah.
I do think he, not saying he's a bad wide receiver, because I think he's a good wide receiver, but I think he's going to be overdrafted compared to some of these other guys.
Like you're talking just name, right? Like, because this is what he ran.
4-2-1, I think one of these teams are going to be like, you know what, we're going to just grab him and, you know, go from there. I'm trying to, I don't even have anything from Hugo on him because Hugo doesn't have him in his top 10.
I just went looking and
I mean,
I have him at 9, kind of in that same area of fighting for that area we're in now.
He's 9 for me as well. Jose had him at 5.
Oh man, Jose loved him.
is pretty high on him. And then Manu had him at 6. So we're a little bit all over the place on the Xaviers.
They must have been the guys that are hyped about that running.
So
speed.
Speed kills. He does have 3-year production. You know, almost 1,000 yards in 2021. Not as great in 2022, but, you know.
Another 1,000 in 23.
Yeah, and the thing was his yardage went up and his catches went up, but his touchdowns dropped. His 2021, he had 12. 2022, he had 9. And then 2023, he had 5.
When you have another teammate that's going.
Yeah.
Hard to.
I think he's going to be drafted ahead of that teammate who almost all of us have higher. But we'll talk about him in a little bit.
What?
And we will go with next. Do you want to talk? The next two, well, I'll just go to the next two we'll talk about.
Next two, okay.
Are going to be, I don't know what two.
Have we talked about Coleman?
But we'll talk about 3 here then.
Uh-oh. I'm not marking off who we talked about like I did last time.
We're
going to
talk about Keon Coleman, Troy Franklin, and Roman Wilson.
All right. Yep. Okay.
I think we could talk about Roman Wilson because I think I'm the only person.
That'll get us to our top 5 afterwards.
Yeah, I'm the only person.
These are our 6, 7, 8-ish.
Yeah, I'm the only person that's really high on Roman. Not really high, I only have him at 6. But everyone else has him towards the bottom of their list.
Yeah.
For me, I watched his tape, and every single time I told you before this, it was just Golden Tate, Golden Tate, Golden Tate, where he's a shorter guy, but he, you know, plays big. He has the run after catch ability. Mm-hmm. He just impressed me. He was another guy that I was like, oh, I'm going to watch this tape and I'm going to be disappointed. But I think he was my biggest surprise in terms of like, I really like this kid a lot. And I mean, his touchdowns to catch rate is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
Every 4th catch was a touchdown for him because he had 48 catches, 789 yards, 12 touchdowns.
I think the tough part with him a little bit was a little limited of offense just because, as we talked about last week, they were so run-heavy.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't asked to do a bunch, but I think that just shows you he can do what he needs to do.
Yeah. What height do you have him at?
I have him at 6 foot, and then I have another one. I have 2 6-foot and 5'11".
Okay, I have him at 6 foot. But yeah.
192, 439. He's got good routes.
Honestly, watching him play, I'm surprised that he's 6 foot. He looks shorter to me. But yeah, the speed's there, good routes. He high points the ball, which is nice to see from, you know, a slightly shorter receiver, and just kind of, he's tough.
He doesn't have much yak, like yards after catch.
Not as much as you would like to see, but contested catches.
He's a smaller size, though. You're not expecting him to break tackles and do a bunch of shit.
But I like him a lot.
At 5'11", if that's his height,
we're gonna say
he
that.
Is one of the smaller wide receivers of all the people we're talking about.
I feel
if not the smallest.
Most of the time, they up the height, so we're going to say 5'11", at least.
We're cutting it. Yeah, maybe down to 5'8".
Want to see what he was at the combine, but yeah, it just.
And then for Hugo, we've got
he's a my guy. I'll say it
for
at
you
the wide, at the wide receiver position.
You like him?
Where he's higher than most people have him. I'm higher on him than most people have him.
Kind of one where if he falls to you, you're gonna have to.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm at 6. Most of you are either 8 or 9. So it's not like a huge drop,
mm-hmm.
but obviously, the one that's willing to put him that way.
Mm-hmm.
What did Mr. Hugo have to say about Roman?
He said, explosive, dynamic, smart. He's great at completing catches through contact, tracks deep balls well, and great at adjusting to low or out of reach passes, can be a deep threat, and is a headache against zone defense. He's a little guy, don't like that he slap catches at times, and that he tends to bobble catch attempts because those turn into turnovers in the next level. Player comp, Randall Cobb.
My comparison's better. I wanted to say that over and over again.
Who's your player comp, you say?
Golden Tate.
Golden Tate, yeah. Yep, sorry.
There was... Now, damn it, I should have written it down. There was somebody that I wasn't... It might be Troy Franklin who we're about to talk about.
Oh, we gotta wait on him. We're talking about Keon Coleman first.
Keon Coleman. Big receiver, former basketball player at Michigan State. Now wide receiver.
Florida State. 6'3", 213.
See, I'm at 6'4", 215.
Yeah, they're rounding up whatever site you're looking at. 4'6", 50 catches, 658 yardage, and 11 touchdowns. Another good touchdown to catch ratio there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be an low hanging fruit to compare him to DK Metcalf, but that's just kind of what I saw.
It could be
where he's just bigger than most everybody, and has speed on the next level.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see more acceleration from him off of it, but
yeah.
Overall, he's just another one of the guys that I had low expectations for, but yeah, he wins at the high point of ball usually, most of the time.
I like his size, good hands. I like after catch and good tracking up down the ball, but his routes aren't the cleanest.
No, and that was one of the things with DK coming out of college too, was is he going to be able to do anything besides a go or a screen or, you know, things like that. So that's going to be his adjustment as well and seeing if he can do it. But
I don't have him as much separation either, which I think as you get the control of the routes, that's where you get your separation. So it kind of goes hand in hand, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, 4.61, 40, which is disappointing.
I mean, he's the one of the, I think he's biggest-ish out there.
I don't know.
Not weight-wise, height-wise, but.
But, yeah, I mean, he was returning punts, too, for Florida State, though, as a bigger guy, which you don't see that much.
Yeah.
So that and just shows kind of his athleticism.
I think a little bit I didn't think about until just now is playing the last few games, last part of that season without their starter. Definitely could have impacted some of those later games, and I kind of just now thought about that, but yeah.
Okay. Hugo's, his highlights are crazy. He's a super athlete that has great body control, strong hands, and yak ability. Makes defenders miss in the open field and makes hard catches look easy. Also runs blocks like a champ. Didn't like the drops. Doesn't look explosive at times. And don't know if it's a lack of effort. Has messy footwork when he's going up for some catches at times, which makes some catches harder than they should be. Player comp, less impressive, Drake London or Michael Pittman Jr.? I think we kind of went over the weaknesses that Hugo saw, too, where it's just like, you know,
mm-hmm.
either the acceleration isn't there, the route running, just...
Yeah.
It's just... He was a basketball player, so he's been doing this...
Not as long as others.
Mm-hmm, so he needs to definitely fine-tune his work, get in there hopefully with a good receiver coach,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, make it happen.
Gives you hope, though, if you want to, if you're a team drafting him.
Yeah. So, I think he could be one of the guys that slips or goes into the first round or is going to be at top of the second. I do not see this kid making it out of the second, personally. All right, now we'll go to Troy Franklin. Here's a guy that Hugo does not have.
I was about to say, he doesn't even have him.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Insane. Diddy. Pretty sure Troy Franklin is the one that I was thinking about, where I think one of my biggest things was he did a lot of body catches.
Yeah. I have that one too.
So
I have Troy Franklin.
Troy Franklin.
Troy Franklin. He's from Oregon.
Joining Elmer Fudd on the podcast.
He's 6'2", 176. Ran a 4.41. He had 81 catches for 1,383 yards and 14 touchdowns. What was that?
That was an ad that I accidentally clicked on.
Oh, okay.
I have him at 6'3", 187. I definitely don't think that's right.
Jeez Louise, is that ESPN?
Yeah.
Man, they're just taking these colleges on their word.
I 100% think so.
Jeez.
I know he was skinnier than 187.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
I think that was what was like a scary thing when he's, you know, pretty skinny, which has kind of been not as concerning when you had guys like Devontae Smith and Tank Dell who've come in smaller weight but have made it happen. But yeah, the body catches was one of the concerning things for me. But he still was a stud in his time there at Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
You went over his stats. He also had 61, almost 909 touchdowns the year before. So
I think that height-speed combo he has with everything is going to be a killer.
Yeah.
I watching him in college, the film just blew by people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was no chance. He just showed it. Good awareness after catch. Like, after he'd catch, he kind of just knew where he was. He would always cut the right way,
mm-hmm.
which I loved. You brought up his hands a little bit, how he catches with the body.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this. He has good hands, and Nick's throws fucking rockets sometimes. I was watching. There was one play he was throwing a slant, and it was like 5-10 yards tops. And this thing went in so fast. Like, I was like, good job catching it in general. If you had to use your body, I don't care. Like, he caught it. Tracks the ball really well in the air. I'm pretty high on him. I have him at 6. And I think he's someone that will go. I think he's flirting with the first round. Like, he'll be there.
Yeah, I think he's definitely one of the guys that will flirt with that first round. You know, the 6'2", you like to see the deep ball ability, you know, averaging 17.
For his size, I don't quite believe he'll be quite the blocker, though. I have a feeling he doesn't want to do that.
Yeah, but there's also still a good amount of people that don't block.
Yeah.
At receiver.
Not many wide receivers want to.
Yeah, it's just,
he had moves. Like, he's one that I looked at, and if this class wasn't so deep, I was like, he could easily be moving up, but this is kind of where we get, I feel like, of where this deep class is in ranking.
Yeah, I think kind of sucks, though, because I feel like he was one of the opposite ones where I went in really excited to watch his tape, thinking like, okay, he's gonna be really good, this is gonna be it,
mm-hmm.
and was a little underwhelmed, which is kind of crazy because when I was watching Bo Nix, I was very impressed by him, but then just watching him
alone is when it was focused.
Like, it was like, there's some things I don't love. So still, once again, a really good receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll go into our top five because those are the guys that are pretty accurate to all five of us.
Yeah.
But Troy Franklin, 7 on Manu's list. 6 on yours.
6 on Jose.
7 on mine, and not on Hugo's.
Somebody's the odd man out there.
That would be Hugo.
Yeah.
And then in terms of the other guys, Keon Coleman was 7 on Jose's. He was 8 on mine. He was 8 on Hugo's.
10 on mine.
10 on yours, and not on Manu's. Roman Wilson, 8. 8.
8 for me.
6 for me. 9 for Hugo.
And 8 and for Manu.
No, I did Manu. He's 10 for Jose. So our top 5, though, we're going to go to guys that we are pretty all high on. And we're going to start with Adonai Mitchell, A.D. Mitchell, as he goes by sometimes.
Texas.
Texas wide receiver. Jose has him the lowest at 7.
Jeez. What a psychopath.
Hugo has him at 4. I have him at 5. You have him at 4.
I put him at 4.
And Manu has him as adorable Mitchell at 5.
Oh, that's hilarious.
We will go ahead and start with Hugo's comparison. Do you have that up, or do you want me to read it?
I have it up.
Okay.
It is... Had to put him in the top 4. I keep seeing CD with a sheep. The more I watch him...
It's not a sheep.
What is that?
A lamb. I mean, I guess they're the same, but the fact that you... CD sheep...
I knew it didn't make sense, but... Oh, man. Oh, that's hilarious. Wow. Maybe you should do the reading next time. Man comes up in big moments, makes the big catches, has great body control, and adjusts to the ball. He made so many catches that most of the guys on the list wouldn't have been able to make. Love that he wins contested catches and gets his hands up late to throw off defenders. Don't like that he shies away from contact. Could be a way better after catch. Oh, could be way better after catch. Player comp, CD, some Brandon Lloyd.
I don't know if I necessarily want to go CD. I don't like comparing a lot of these guys to, like, the top players in the league because mm-hmm. it's like, you know, that's a high bar. But he was impressive. Every time I watched him, it was just like...
So touch on like what Hugo talked about. I think what impressed me the most is when you watched him do slants and outs, you could not tell which one he was running until it was going.
Mm-hmm.
Like they both were the same steps. He doesn't give it away. And it just made his route running. He doesn't turn to the ball early. He doesn't go searching for it. He doesn't have a tell to tell the defender, like, hey, the ball's in the air coming to me. Like, it's not until it's last minute.
Yeah, I think that was just the thing, too. It was just, like, so smooth.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, like, it was usually, like, one fluid motion, and then, boom, it was there.
Yeah.
And, you know, great body control. Couldn't, you know, like he said, make contested catches, make spectacular catches.
Yeah.
I think we already went over with Xavier Worthy where... They both were a little bit hindered by the quarterback play.
Definitely sought more with Mitchell.
But...
Because I felt like there was times where he would get behind defenders and he would have to make a diving catch just to make the catch.
Yeah.
And it's like, if he makes that on the run, it's a touchdown.
I mean, his stats are worse than Xavier Worthy's, but the tape was better
for him. Oh, yeah. 100%.
55 catches, 845, 11 touchdowns. He was their go-to guy in the red zone. I have him at 6'4", 196.
I have him at 6'2", 205.
So 6'3 is where we're going to put him at, 202.
4'3", 442, yeah, which I like.
With the big body. Yeah. Like, I just absolutely loved watching this kid. Other than the top two, he was by far my favorite tape to watch.
I liked it.
And I think... It could have been so much better with better quarterback
literally play. Like, one of my knocks on it is better quarterback play and the stats would be way better. Like, yeah. And it's like, I don't know how many times I had saw him too where he had to stop and come back to a ball and come back to the defenders to, like, just make the play.
Yeah. It's just, oh, man.
But he's, yeah. I did have him. I was going to put him at 5, and I watched his tape, and I was like, nope, he's going to 4.
I saw something, and I don't know how true it is or not, but they're saying that he could potentially have personality issues. I don't know. Let me see if I can find the report that I saw.
Like a diva? Like
kind of. From the one I read on Twitter, and, you know,
Twitter's fair.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to judge what's exactly true, but I read that he has his diabetes, which obviously is not a concern, mm-hmm. and, you know, that's not something he can't really control.
Yep.
But someone was saying that in, like, the Texas room, if he was, like, low on blood, his, like, blood sugar, that he was, like, really difficult personality to deal with.
Yeah, but I mean, that kind of just goes with, I think there's going to be a better control of it at an NFL level. They won't have so much spiking going on, because at that point, he's probably the one doing it.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the... I would take that with a grain of salt. I don't think that necessarily makes anything...
Yeah, here's one report that there's an article about that Mitchell's got Garrett Wilson-esque catch radius, athletic ability, and body control. I feel like that's a really good comparison, actually, that I didn't really mm-hmm. think about was Garrett Wilson. But he's almost uncoachable. He's a little bit of a wild horse. You've got to see if you can harness him in. Then once you do that, he doesn't address the diabetic stuff in a mature way. He's very boom or bust type of guy. I think that is where, if these reports are true, you need to have a strong coach
mm-hmm.
that can be able to be like, kind of harness it in and just be like, no.
Yeah.
This is the way we're doing it. A well-respected coach, I feel like, would be a good fit for him. I mean, they don't have a first-round pick, and they just trade for Stephon Diggs, so it wouldn't be. But, like, a guy like D'Amico Ryans, where mm-hmm. it's like he could talk to him kind of like a man-to-man type of thing. Yeah. So, but...
A player coach.
Yeah.
More or less.
Player coach, but also isn't going to take any BS.
Mm-hmm.
But the talent...
It's there.
...is amazing.
Yeah.
So, I really hope this kid can, you know, put it all together, because he was an absolute joy to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I probably should put him at 4, but
we convinced you. <It's> just kidding.
But yeah, we'll go with the first of the LSU duo next. At number 4, we have Brian Thomas Jr. I will go and read.
We've got LSU 6'3". And I have 6'4", because I got different numbers. So
I have him at 6'4", 205.
209, 433, 68 catches, 1,177 yards, and 17 touchdowns.
Mm. Yeah, he's one of the bigger, another big body in this one.
Dude, it's crazy. Like, I feel like there's not normally this many of the big body top wide receivers.
Yeah. Hugo has him as, I usually hate the tall, deep threat receivers, but this man is so much more than that. He's fast, creates separation easy. Deep threat with good ball adjustments. Attacks the ball, moves so smooth, and you can count on big plays if you give him a chance. Wanted to see more routes, but this was his first year as a feature receiver, so I think he can get better in time. His player comp was hard to compare this dude. I think mine for him was, I mean, put it out of your head the last few years, because that's not a good comparison for him, but the peak of Robbie Anderson, or Chosen Anderson, whatever.
Did he ever peak?
He had a peak where Yeah, Rob, you had a... Let me go take a look here.
What? I don't know. That name, I know a name, but I don't know if you ever had a peak.
He had a peak, my buddy.
He possibly did, but it's not a good peak.
Robbie... he went from Chosen Anderson to Robbie Chosen.
So he changed his name again?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. He had... In 2020, he had 95 catches, 1,096 yards. There was a few years where he had some decent.
Okay.
I think he's a better version, though.
Yeah.
Of Robbie Anderson.
Not quite the diva to him. Just kidding.
Basically. But yeah, he really showed off this year with 17 touchdowns, 68 catches, 1,177 yards. Very impressive. Was a major threat for Jaden Daniels.
He blew lids off of defenses, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually shocking to me that we have two top wide receivers and a quarterback coming from LSU, and they were kind of a floundering teamish.
Yeah, the defense. Yeah. They were getting in a lot of shootouts.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you usually expect an LSU team to have better defenses, but this year,
wasn't there.
It's a very real possibility that you have all three of these guys taken in the top 16 picks of the NFL draft from LSU. Because,
mm-hmm.
Brian Thomas is, 17 touchdowns speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Didn't have much production the previous 2 years with 31 catches, 28 catches for 300 yards, basically both ones, and five and two touchdowns. But this year he exploded, and it was impressive.
The size speed stuff, it's just such an advantage, especially when you consider cornerbacks aren't that big
in
the NFL.
I think that's where my comparison to Robbie Anderson was more, was
the height
and speed. Being able just to see him just kind of run past mm-hmm. people. It was just like, yeah, this...
I would say, like, kind of pigging off of what Hugo said, like, he's just quick moves after catch. He's going to be a problem for any safety help or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hard thing was I felt like we didn't see much of a route tree with him. It was a lot of just streaks on one side, and on the other side was nabbers. But he does what he needs to do, and he tracks the ball down really well in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
hopefully we can get him paired up with a big arm quarterback to really maximize his potential in the NFL, because, that deep ball was deadly with him.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, the consensus number three. I don't think anybody else had him besides number three.
No, so, this is where we are all the same for sure.
Rome Odunze, wide receiver from Washington.
6'3", 212, 4'4", 40, 92 catches for 1,640 yards and 13 touchdowns.
Yeah, that 1,640 is nasty. And the year before that, 75 catches, 1,145, and 7 touchdowns. So he elevated from an already amazing season the year before. And it was just... He just always made the catch. The big catch,
mm-hmm.
whenever it needed to be made. It was like Penix was always looking for Rome, and he always delivered, basically. Yep.
I felt like that one, like, even I watched, like, some of it, too. Even if he wasn't getting past the ball on fourth and ones or fourth and whatevers, they were handing the ball off to him.
Yeah.
Just get him the ball.
And, like... My thing with him that was, like, a negative was, like, I didn't see as much separation and, like, man-to-man as I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't matter. It was, like, just whenever the ball was thrown to him, it was, like, nearly a guarantee that he was coming down with it.
Which was shocking, because I noticed the space, too, and it was a little baffling, but...
He knows how to set up defenders where it's like he doesn't necessarily need to have as much separation as some guys. But he just knows how to just boom, last second, back shoulder, be able to twist his body, get to the spot that needs to be.
It's the eyes. He just keeps them away from being able to be read. He doesn't look back and hold it.
And then in zone, it's just like he's deadly. He knows exactly where to be, where to find that spot, and either sit or, you know, kind of drift to help his quarterback out. It was just...
There wasn't, like, it was hard to find negatives. Like, it really was.
Like, I didn't necessarily see, like, the next two guys that we'll talk about, I think, are absolutely special.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like I necessarily was like, oh, I was waiting to see something just completely special from Rome. And it was just kind of special just to see him play
just
more than an actual attribute.
Consistent. It was just not much of a change. He high points well.
Yeah, biggest games he showed up, biggest plays he showed up, and just knew what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think, I think if the next two guys weren't in it, he's the clear cut number one. Like,
yeah. Did you say what size you had him at?
6'3".
I have my 6'3" as well.
Yep, 212.
215.
Yeah.
But yeah.
They must have been honest when they reported that to ESPN.
He was the one, though, that I had a hard time having a player comp for. Let me go to Hugo's thing. Probably the most complete receiver in the class. Great releases. And I mean, that's true. Love that he's a hand catcher. For his size, can run any route you need him to. Knows how to use his body and size against his defender. He is what Chargers fans wish they got with old boy from last year, a.k.a. Quentin Johnston. Don't like that he can get jammed at the line by physical corners, but he finds a way through it. Player comp, Keenan Allen. I don't see Keenan.
No.
Personally, I think mine was more leaning towards a Chris Olave.
I'm not good at player comp, so I don't even have him.
Well, it's because Keenan Allen was kind of my player comp for the next person.
Yeah.
So, which is the other LSU receiver, Malik Nabers.
Is it Nabers or Nabers?
Nabers.
I want Nabers.
You can call him Nabers. I'm going to stick with Nabers.
6 foot.
I don't even, not even doing 1-2. I'm doing 1A and 1B. These two are both absolute studs.
Yeah.
And I don't want to rank them one or two.
I can do it because the number one's just pure.
So you don't think Nabers is pure?
No, I'm just... No,
Nabers is absolutely pure.
6 foot, 200, 4'4", 89 catches, 1,569 yards, and 14 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I feel like the issue is I feel like I've had almost the same description for the last three guys of like how they play. And he's kind of similar. Good hands. Speed. Speed, speed, speed.
Speed, but like he's just different to me where it's just like.
Route's really crisp.
That's the thing is like crisp where there was like a play versus Alabama where. He literally just did like a quick 1-2 and was there was not a defender within like 7 yards of him. And it was just like, he just kind of embarrassed teams at some points where it was just like.
His double moves are murderous.
They're insane.
They just set him up so hard and you just watch it and he could easily turn it into a corner or a hook and. He gets people to bite.
Mm-hmm.
And bye-bye.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm looking at his last 5-game splits, which his last game was Wisconsin, the bowl game, but Jaden Daniels didn't play in that one. I'm surprised that Nabers played in that one, to be honest.
Yeah, that's shocking.
But it was only 3 catches, 23 yards, but before that, 6 for 122, 8 for 140, 6 for 132, 10 for 171. Like,
that's just...
He was absolutely insane, and It was just looked easy for him. Not as easy as it is for the next guy, but yeah. Like it was just kind of one of those things where it was just. He could get open at will.
Yeah, it like I felt like between him, like it was no wonder that offense moved so much and scored so much between him and the other side of Brian Thomas. Like, who do you cover? How do you stop it? Like,
and that's kind of where I have him as like a Keenan Allen, because Keenan Allen's routes are so crisp and they just like. He makes it look so fluid and easy mm-hmm. when he's breaking in and out. And that's kind of what I saw from him. But I think he's a little bit, I don't want to say more explosive.
He's quicker.
But I don't think Keenan has necessarily been asked his career to be a deep threat as much as I think Neighbors will be.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, let's go to Hugo's comparison / notes from this one. Man is a freak athlete. He gets up quick and tracks the ball great. Unlike number one, man needs two to bring him down, and I wanted to put him at one, but talk myself out of it. His player comp was Jamarston Jeffer Chase.
I like it.
So that's,
I'm guessing, just because of LSU.
Maybe, but I mean, to even be compared to those guys is insane. But at the same time, Justin Jefferson wasn't as highly touted coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So, this LSU. LSU absolutely produces wide receivers.
Yeah.
Other than, what's his name, who got drafted to Carolina. But I didn't like him anyways.
Draft this year?
No. 2 years ago. Can't think of his name.
Got drafted.
But people were overdrafting him. He was like a second round pick.
I don't know. I'm not good at this. My brain doesn't work that way.
Let me take a look.
Yeah, I mean, we're to the, I think you're probably right about the 1A, 1B. They're both would be the top, no matter kind of. You got people.
Terrace Marshall Jr.
Terrace Marshall. I don't even remember him.
Yeah, he's still on the team. But
I don't even know that name.
They also took Jonathan Mingo, and he's kind of underwhelmed. He was last year, too.
Yeah. I know that name.
So, yeah. We will go to our number one, though.
Number one.
And that is Marvin Harrison Jr.
He's been my number one since last year. It's not changed.
I don't think we talked about it. Did we talk about it on the podcast, or was it after when we were talking about the national championship game? The college playoff last year.
Oh, I think we had to have talked about it on here. Oh, okay. I don't know about last week by any means, but when we talked, I know last year when we talked about Stroud, I guarantee you we talked about him. So, but yeah, last year Ohio State would have been national champion last year had he not gotten hurt.
Yeah, he was absolutely tearing up
Georgia
defense, which that ripping defense him. Was insane.
Top defense in the nation.
And he was just
unstoppable.
And it just looks easy for him. And that's, I think the comparison that I had, and I have actually seen it be multiple places, is Devontae Adams, where it's just like, he just kind of, like, Devontae just makes the game look easy too, which is.
Yeah. I was thinking, could comparison be Marvin Harrison, but all right.
Actually, he plays different than his dad.
Yeah, he does.
A little bit, but yeah, it's just.
You just got him, so. Stats real quick. Ohio State, 6'3", 209, 439, 67 catches, 1,200 yards, and 18-yard average. I don't know why I didn't put touchdowns for him.
14.
Okay.
And the year before was 77 catches, 1,263, 14 again. The only thing that he improved was his average. So he had 2 years of absolutely special performances.
Yeah.
And
I think the good thing is you see Stroud do what he did. And I think when Stroud went out, it was it because of his wide receivers? And then now you see what he did with another quarterback, and you can sit there and be like, well, it was just a good combo, but just shows that he's also the dude still too.
Yeah, I mean,
he's got hands. He's got speed. He's got size.
He can do it all.
He's got routes, separation.
He's
gets up for jump balls.
He's insane. I'm just trying to figure out with number one and number two, which college's wide receiver you between Ohio State and LSU.
For the last little bit, I think you gotta.
I think you gotta give the slight edge to LSU.
I think so. Yeah.
But yeah, why? Ohio State.
Just Jamar Chase and Jefferson, like those are two top. Yeah, they're tops right now.
Yeah. But Ohio State is.
Pretty. I just Marvin Harrison literally is what you want in a wide receiver is my description. Just fits everything. There's, I can't find something that I don't like. I don't care if he doesn't block. I don't want him to block. I want him to run routes.
Do you have Marvin Harrison? Would you put Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers in your top 10 dynasty wide receivers? I think Harrison is.
I think Harrison's in for sure. But even then, like, I don't think we're talking much, like, leaning in top five. I think you got to lean towards the back end.
Let me take a look.
I'm trying to think right now of, like, who
we have. We haven't put in our dynasty ones yet. Yeah. But
I'm just trying to think based off of, like, what we have current, like, in my mind.
This list has actually these two players both in there right now.
In there?
Yeah, but I'm looking at Fantasy Pros Dynasty wide receivers. Would you trade... You would not trade Justin Jefferson.
No.
One for one. Would you trade Jamar Chase?
No.
No. CeeDee Lamb.
Well, hold on. Ooh. So, hold on. Oh, man. Jamar Chase is... That would be a very tough discussion I'd have to have with myself about trading straight up him for Marvin Harrison.
Okay, let's...
For sure, that would be a discussion. I wouldn't do it for Nabers.
But...
It's possible. It's a possibility. Jeez, that just throws a whole fucking loophole into this. Like, that just almost means he is a...
Let's say you have the Superflex 102 and someone just drafted Caleb Williams. You have the 102. Uh-huh. And someone offered you Jamar Chase for it. This is basically where we're at.
I think there's a piece of information I'm missing.
And that's the team?
Yep.
Okay.
I think that's kind of what would make it a tough one to do.
CeeDee Lamb.
I don't think so.
Amon-Ra.
Oh, man. This is tough. I don't think so.
You don't think... What is I don't think so? I don't think you would...
Trade... I think without knowing where he's at, I can't complete this trade with him.
I think
with Amon-Ra.
I think those top three, I'm fine. But if someone offered me Marvin Harrison for Amon-Ra, I'm taking it. And I think that's the end of the list. I think those three are the only ones that I probably wouldn't.
Yeah, because after that, who you get in? I would do it for Tyreek because he's got nothing left.
They have him at 9. And I have Malik Nabers at 11 on this one. Behind Chris Olave, which if someone offered me Malik
Nabers, I would do it in a heartbeat.
I would take Malik Nabers for Tyreek. Puka is interesting.
Seeing these guys that are on...
Garrett Wilson is interesting.
And they're on teams where they have quarterbacks that aren't going to be around much longer.
Yeah. We're running long, but I just wanted to get that out there.
Cause no, that's a good one, because that just shows you how good these guys, I think, are.
Yeah.
And where they... I think at this point, like we talked about, maybe, I think these guys are going to be considered in redrafts a lot earlier than I think people will realize, which is two good things. If you get a league where you don't pay attention to rookies, you don't pay attention to dynasty drafts, and you just kind of go along with what the feel is, I think they're players that will fall later in the draft, but in ones where you got people paying attention and stuff, they're going to go where they should go.
Yeah. It's a very talented class.
Yep.
And that's where we're going to end it. We'll be back next week with either some kind of draft coverage or something. We'll figure it out.
Something's going to happen. Draft coverage one day. And then
we'll get you guys a... Dynasty rookie mock draft at some point as well.
Oh boy.
Here shortly. So We're going to be providing you all the stuff that you need to go. But for now, we are out of here. Now money rides.